Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for Survivor Exit Interview for week number 5 of Survivor 42. And today we're going to be talking about the last player voted out before we get to the quote-unquote merge. And that is going to be Daniel Strunk. We'll hear about everything that went on last night. And of course, in that very exciting tribal council from a couple of weeks ago, broke it all down with Stephen Fishback last night on the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Had a little bit of an interesting snafu to open up the show. I won't spoil that for you if you haven't heard it yet. Of course, that's up at robisawebsite.com. I'll be getting ready to talk to T-Bird Cooper later on today. So looking forward to hearing what she has to say. She was at the Ron Clark viewing party in Atlanta. So maybe she has some stories also from that. And then got a great feedback show this week when Shannon Gus, our chief international Survivor correspondent, will join us for the Survivor feedback show, recording that on Friday night. So get your feedback questions in at robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. Make sure you subscribe to everything we're doing over at robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. All right. First up on the agenda, we will talk with Daniel Strunk, and then Jordan Kalish will be here for another round of This Week in Survivor History. Let's bring in my interview with Daniel. Hey, Daniel. Good morning. Rob Cesternino, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very good. Very nice to get the chance to finally get to talk about everything that's going on. How has this roller coaster ride been for you, Daniel?
Well, I mean, I can answer that question, but the first thing I want to do is let you know that I'm so sorry to Dominic and your other, what's your other
Anthony,
kid's name?
Yes,
and
yes.
Anthony, Dominic, yes. And Anthony. I said to myself before I left, you know, if I win, I am going to like pay my respects to all the people who helped me win. And one of the things I'll do is I remember there was a podcast where you said that Dominic and Anthony wanted a Lego Death Star, but you didn't want to buy it for him because it was so expensive.
Yes.
And it,
yes.
Like, it broke my heart because I know the pain of not getting the Lego that you really want. And I said to myself, if I win Survivor,
wow,
I'm 1,000,000% buying Dominic and Anthony that Lego Death Star.
Daniel.
So I want to offer my apology to them that they will not get it from me.
Okay.
One of these days, maybe.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Although, you know, the thought of stepping on a 9,000 piece Lego set in the middle of the night is truly terrifying. Congratulations also to you on your engagement this past week. But Dan, we have so much Survivor to talk about. So let's get into from last night's episode. Did you know going into Tribal Council that you were going to be the target?
I was totally and utterly snookered. I 1,000% thought that Chanel was going home. The reason I thought that was because of one conversation that I had with High on the beach, where it was about a day or two after the cluster of a tribal.
Yes.
And I basically had a convo with him where it was very emotional. And I was expressing how grateful I was to be on the show and like it's a lifelong dream. And I talked about how I wanted to represent sick children, basically, on the show. And he was, you know, we had like a great combo and he was had an emotional response and we hugged. And I thought after that combo, I was like, I've really bonded with High here. I'm like very safe. Like High and I are tight now. And I was wrong. I was like totally, utterly wrong. And High's a great Survivor player. Like I would say he had a bad social game the first 7 days because he and Lydia were on the outs. But in terms of deception, guy's really good. Look out for High. He's really, really good at this stuff.
Did you signal in any way that you were going to play the shot in the dark?
No. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I had no intention of playing it. I gave no signals that I was going to play it.
Yeah. Did you and Chanel at all talk about potentially reuniting prior to Mike getting his vote back?
No, because there was no point. It's like, what was the point? There were 4 votes. And if Mike doesn't have a vote, like High and Lydia are a unit. What's the point in the Chanel and I forming a unit and having what? We're going to have another rock draw? Like that makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
The vote, the lose your vote era of Survivor limits strategy to a certain extent, because for the vast bulk of the game after the cluster of a tribal in episode 3, there were only 4 votes. Chanel and I knew it. And so it was all a game of who can, you know, convince High to keep him around. That was it. Because Lydia was going to do whatever High wanted. So with only 4 votes, it was all about High. Now, maybe after Mike got his vote back, in like the very brief period of time, like an hour, maybe Chanel, Mike, and I could have teamed up. But the reality is that was never going to happen because at that point, Chanel and I feel like there was too much. I mean, we'd spent like 2 days trying to get the other one out. It would have been a difficult reconciliation to have.
Daniel, let's go back to the cluster of a tribal council from a couple of weeks ago, because we had so many questions about all of that. So going into that tribal council, did you have a full accounting of the fact that there would be only the 4 votes?
Yes, I knew. Yes, I did. Just blunt, yes.
Okay. So did you consider when it went to the revote, knowing that only you and Hai would have a vote, did you consider switching your vote to Jenny at that point?
No, I did not, for 2 reasons. One, because I wanted to maintain loyalty to my alliance, and which at the time was Mike and Chanel and me and Jenny. I wanted to maintain loyalty to that. And then 2, I knew about the Will Wall situation from season 33, where like, he flipped or he switched and someone else, and basically it resulted in a rock draw.
I think he was afraid that if he switched,
So I had no intention of flipping. I wanted to remain true to the alliance.
Okay. So many people, including myself, tried to get inside your head after it came down to that stalemate of, okay, potentially heading into the rock draw. Can you talk us through what was your intention from the moment that you started talking at that stalemate of trying to decide whether or not to go to rocks?
Okay, so it's the evolution of strategy, volume 4 or 5. We're on volume 5 now in the future.
Yeah.
And you're analyzing this.
Yes.
Your analysis has to begin, Rob, when I shared with Chanel that Mike lost his vote, right? Because at that moment, I was giving Chanel the power to get rid of me. Because up until that moment, it was, you know, 6 people had votes and Chanel and I were in the middle. The moment I shared with Chanel that Mike had lost his vote, I was giving Chanel the power to go to Hai and Lydia, who she had bonded with better because she's a great social player and people should stop hating on her because she's really good at Survivor. She made 1 bad mistake. Okay. But putting that aside, I gave her the power to get rid of me. And then she would have been in the middle of 2 pairs. So I was totally and utterly honest and loyal. I followed the Rob Sesternino playbook of finding a number one and going all in on the number one. And I was all in on Chanel. I told her everything, absolutely everything, including what could get rid of me. Okay. Now fast forward to right before we go to the immunity challenge that we ended up losing. Chanel and I had a combo before that challenge. And we both looked at each other and we agreed that under no circumstances will either of us risk our vote if we go on the summit, under no circumstances, right? So when she comes back from the summit and she says, I lost my vote, at that moment, I thought I'd been betrayed by Chanel. Like, that is a betrayal of trust. What do I do in that moment? And that's the key question that in Evolution of Strategy, Volume 5, that's the moment you have to make the decision. You're 7 days, 600 total calories. You have an hour at most, probably more like a half an hour, 45 minutes before you go to tribal. And what do you do in that moment? And I decided in that moment, I'm going to remain loyal to Chanel. I'm going to go to tribal. I'm going to vote Lydia. Like, that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to remain loyal to Chanel. She's my number one. I'm going all the way to the end with Chanel. Stand the course. All right. So then we go to tribal. And at tribal, we've gone over the voting and why I didn't back down the vote. Again, I could have backed down. I wanted to remain loyal to my alliance of Mike and Chanel. Then you have the cluster of the situation. And do you remember, Rob Sesternino, did you pay close enough attention, Mr. Know-It-All, to what I asked Jeff Probst right before the rock draw discussion commenced? Do you remember what I asked?
I think you wanted to know, do the people that don't have votes, do they have to draw rocks also?
Yes. I clarified that because to me, a game of chicken, which is what it was, I don't want to like fight the narrative. It was a game of chicken. I just didn't know it was a game of chicken because I thought it was a 3-versus-1 situation. And I wanted to clarify with Jeff whose vote, who would be at risk of going home. Because when I found out all 4 of us would have to draw rocks, that signals to me, my allies, Mike and Chanel, might go home if we draw rocks. Right? Their lives in this game are in my hands right now because it's a 3-versus-1 and I'm the only one that can subject them to the risk of going home. So when I stupidly, I'm not going to defend it, but when I stupidly open what I thought was a discussion, not negotiation, when I stupidly open with I'm not going to rocks, that is me communicating to my allies, Chanel and Mike, you can trust me. I am not going to force you to risk your life in this game because you can trust me and you're not at risk. Join me in trying to convince High to flip and send Lydia home.
Got it.
Best case scenario, Rob, best case scenario is Mike and Chanel say, High, we would have voted Lydia if we had votes. Let's just get rid of Lydia. You know, if we don't get rid of Lydia, you know, you're going to be on the outs. Like, I don't know what would have happened. It was a losing scenario. It was a really bad, but like, that's best case scenario of what could have happened. Middle case scenario is Chanel and Mike say like, you know, we're neutral, but let's have a discussion. Let's like figure it out. And then they play a side subtly without making it clear where they actually stand. All right. I got worst case scenario, which was Chanel and Mike both said, I don't want anything to do with you. Go away. This is not my problem. I don't have a vote. You figure it out. Like, it's all on you, bro. And frankly, at that moment, I felt totally and utterly betrayed after having gone all in on these people who I really loved. And I really, up until that moment, had shown total loyalty to, with the exception of Mike, who I shared with Chanel about his idol, right? In the rank order of like Chanel's number one, Jenny and Mike are number two. I demonstrated total and utter loyalty to that hierarchy up until that moment. So I had an emotional human response in that moment to what transpired.
Daniel, we saw in the secret scene last week that you went to Chanel. She admitted to you, okay, fine. Yeah, I wanted to get Lydia voted out. Were you ever able to make the case to the rest of the group that, you know, Chanel was, you know, just as willing and able, or I guess unable in her case, to make the move against Lydia at that tribal council?
So one of the mistakes I made is there's an inflection point in the tribal. So like, pay attention in the tribal and at every point, I'm demonstrating loyalty. Yeah, at every point, I'm demonstrating loyalty until the inflection point where I realize Mike and Chanel are running for the hills, which, by the way, internet, stop hating on me for Jenny. I'm the only one that did anything to try to save Jenny. Get mad at Mike and Chanel for literally running for the hills.
Or don't get mad at anybody. It's just Survivor.
Yeah, right. You're right. You're very right about that. But like, I'm the only one that made any effort to try to save Jenny whatsoever. I'm the only one. So at that inflection point, what do I do? At that inflection point, I like screw my whole game. All right, great. But I had a human emotional response. And the mistake I made is everyone thinks like there was strategy. Maybe he realizes there's only going to be four votes and like it's going to be Chanel or him. And maybe part of my brain was thinking that. But really, I'm a human. I'm not a robot. And I was just kind of upset that my alliance had run for the hills. And a mistake I made, if you rewatch the tribal, you should always get an answer to your question when you're in a cross-examination or whatnot. And High was forcing Chanel to say who she would have voted for. He was forcing it. And Chanel got away with never giving an answer because Mike interjects.
Yes, yes. Says,
yes. And that was foundationally terrible. That was terrible for me because it allowed Chanel to basically get off scot-free. I think not really, but like, she never had to say it. Mm-hmm. And at that inflection point, when everything changed, I should have at least gotten an answer to who Chanel would have voted out. I screwed it up before the inflection point. I screwed it up after the inflection point.
Okay. Daniel, we're running short on time. So if we could just go to the lightning round. I know you have incredible answers to these questions.
We got to talk fishing.
Okay. Yeah. How bad was your shoulder when you were out there?
Yeah. So I could not do any of the challenges. The doctor basically said you risk long-term damage to your shoulder if you do these challenges. The reason is because you can't control your range of motion during challenges. Things are coming at you. You have to do this. You have to do that. Snorkeling, you can control your range of motion. So I was able to do that safely. And I did 2 months of physical therapy and everything's fine now. I almost had to have surgery, but I decided not to. I went snorkeling in part because of the Rob Sesternino playbook.
Yes. It sounds like you're blaming me for a lot of stuff, Daniel.
No. Well, Rob, I have a content consumption spreadsheet, as you know.
Yes.
And I'm looking at now. I can tell you, I've listened to 116,088 minutes of your voice related to Survivor.
Yes. Okay. What did I say? What did I say about spearfishing?
No, I did the be honest about your dishonesty strategy.
Okay.
Coming out of that tribal.
Yes.
And I thought I needed to basically communicate to the remaining members of this tribe that I am not a schemer. I'm someone they can trust at the merge. And what demonstrates that better than literally not scheming? Because he's not scheming. He's out there in the ocean, right? He's like not doing anything. I had a very different strategy from Chanel, who was very much running all over the place and scheming. My strategy was be chill, be low key, be honest about your dishonesty, and then move on and don't scheme. And that was a mistake, probably.
Okay. Daniel, I have so many more questions for you, but I know we're running out of time. Anything else real quick you want to let the listeners know?
I have our half specific things.
We can do that anytime.
Someone should dig up in a previous voicemails episode.
Yes.
Someone calls in and uses a Darth Vader voice.
Yes.
As a voice modulator. That was me. And I have a story behind that, but you have to invite me to the deep dive in order for me to tell it.
Okay. All right. Well, Daniel, we'll see if we can work that out. Okay. Thank you so much for being here with us. It was very fun to have you on the show this season, and all the best outside of Survivor.
Of course. Of course. Have fun, Rob. I love listening to your podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Daniel. Really appreciate it. Okay. Take care, buddy. Bye.
All right.
Everybody, there you have it. Daniel Strunk on the Survivor exit interview. I feel like that this was a great representation of what we saw at these tribal councils. Daniel has a lot to say. 15 minutes does not do him justice. I do hope we have the chance to talk to him more about his experience sometime down the road and hear some of those stories about where those voicemails are coming from, of course. So thanks again to Daniel. We've still got a man who also, 15 minutes never does him justice. Jordan Kalish will be here with us to talk about this week in Survivor history after a short break. We'll be right back after this. Joining us now to take a look back at what happened on this very week in the history of Survivor, of course, my great friend Jordan Kalish is here. Jordan, how are you?
Doing great. What
happy
a season.
Happy opening day.
Yes, I can't believe it. Baseball season has started. We never thought we'd get to this point, but we are there, and we're right in the middle of a great Survivor season too. So we're in my two favorite seasons. People ask me, what's my favorite season? Is it spring? Is it fall? Doesn't matter. It's Survivor and baseball. Two best seasons.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jordan.
Yes.
We are here. Second week, is it actually first week of April?
First week of April. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure there must have been some amazing things that happened on this very week in Survivor history.
There were some fun things, and we're going to go to a season of Survivor where I have seen every episode of. You have seen every episode of. Marianne has not seen every episode of this season.
Do you think at this point has Marianne finished Survivor Tocachines?
I think by the time she got home, maybe she binged the rest of that. It's a great season. Who wouldn't want to see Coach's epic Exile Island performance and all the things that happened at the end of that one? And I hope that she and her mom enjoyed the end of it, if they have watched. And if not, Marianne, if you're listening, please watch. Please clap. We're going to go to Survivor Tocachines. The episode is called One of Those Coach Moments. And this is not a trivia question. Who do you think said that? Who do you think named the episode that season?
One of those coach moments. I'm going to say Tyson.
It was not. It was Brendan.
Brendan. Okay.
Brendan Steinacht.
Yeah.
And he is a member of the Exile Island Alliance. And I have a question sort of relating to that. So on April 2nd, 2009, 13 years ago, this week in Survivor history, which two players became the only players not part of the Exile Island Alliance to visit Exile Island in the pre-merge? So this is the pre-merge. Four people in the Exile Alliance obviously were there in the pre-merge. There were two other people who went for one visit. Who were these two players? Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say I know that one is Aaron. And I guess it would probably the other would be Joe. Aaron and Joe.
Aaron
tried
from
to make their own alliance.
Jalapal Joe, and we saw that I was about to say I heard this word. I know I heard this on a podcast recently. I didn't hear it on a podcast. I was on the podcast with you and Hallie where we talked about how Joe finally every woman he comes across he kind of sort of had a flirt manse with. Aaron was definitely one of them. He gets to Island and
Sandy.
They had some fun. Yes, Sandy, exactly. He loves Sandy. That is the correct answer. This could have been another interesting cross-tribal relationship if Joe didn't end up getting medevaced once we merged. So you were correct. You start off with 2 points. That was a 2-point question. You got them both.
I didn't know the episode title.
That's okay. That wasn't really one of the trivia questions. Okay. So
not canon. Who said the episode title?
Exactly. It doesn't really matter who said the episode title, but especially when it's one like that, one of those coach moments could literally be anyone on Coach's Drive.
Right.
So we are now going to leave Token Sheens. We have finished everything that we needed to watch with Token Sheens. We're not pulling out six episodes early, but we are going to go to Survivor Winners at War. Winners at War. This is an episode from April 8th, 2020, 2 years ago tomorrow. The episode is called War Is Not Pretty. I do not know who said that. But here is your first trivia question. Who gave away their spot on the Chinese takeout reward to Nick, supposedly because it was his birthday the day before?
Oh, I mean, this is very easy. A layup. It was Officer Sarah.
Officer Sarah, known for making friendships and breaking friendships with people in her time on Survivor. Yes, she is the one that gave away the reward. Adam was one of the people who was very concerned about the fact that she's building these relationships, and this is something that actually gets back to Sarah, that Adam started strategizing mm-hmm. against her, and he gets voted out. This is the famous Fleur de Lis episode. Yes. Love this tribal council. It's always worth a shot.
Great moment.
Jeff Probst once said.
It's a great moment.
Love Adam. I think we could put Adam Klein on every season of Survivor and we'd enjoy it.
Sure.
At least I would.
Sure.
So let's go to the last question here. The last trivia question. I do have one more thing for you at the end.
Okay.
You already got your 3 points. You needed 3 for 4 to win. You're already there. You can't lose.
Can't lose.
This is slightly harder of a question than the last one. Using their when players reference former players on the show, reference former moments on the show.
Sure.
Preferably when they do correctly. Of course you do. But yeah, but I mean, like, we'll give Swathi a pass. Swathi, I don't think, was born when Bustin' Rob was the he wasn't really the fourth person voted off Marquesas, but he could have been, I guess.
One of the multiverses, he was
in one of the multiverses. Yeah, that is true. We
do you think Swathi was from the multiverse, and then
I think that is the only explanation for why she messed up. That
and then
that
he came back and then won fight. Survivor All Stars.
Yeah, he won Survivor All-Stars and you actually won, Survivor. You were actually on Thailand in that season.
Oh my God.
You replaced Ken Stafford and you won Thailand.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So that's really, really, really crazy situation. Mm-hmm. I think that Thailand, maybe Thailand becomes a better season in this scenario. It can't get worse.
Couldn't be worse. Right.
No. So we're going to, talk about a time when a survivor on Winners at War referenced a former moment on the show. So using their survivor knowledge of where Aubrey had previously found an item on the edge, who helped find the 50-50 coin with Parvati that was sold to Michelle for 4 fire tokens?
I believe it was the winner of one of the seasons that you like to talk about, but I'm not going to say one of your favorite seasons. I believe it was Danny Boatwright.
So Danny Boatwright. Mm-hmm. Winner of Survivor Guatemala. Mm-hmm. I don't get to really talk about Guatemala when we're in the even numbered seasons, but I had to find a way to bring it into here. Danny Boatwright is the correct answer. She was the one who knew where Aubrey found it by the stairs. Apparently Danny Boatwright's watching a lot of Survivor. Maybe she's listening to this. And Parvati is officially the one who finds it, but Danny is the one who knew that and led Parvati to the right spot. So mm-hmm. you go 4 for 4. Congratulations. And I have a little prize for you because you've gone 4 for 4.
Yes.
We're going to do another verbal rebus puzzle.
Okay. All right. Here we go. 4 for 4,
but now I could say it's your prize for doing such a good job on the quiz. So here
Here's
we go.
My pen. Yeah.
You might need your pen for this one. We have Savage Crew plus the Feckless One plus the middle name of Vanuatu's oldest player.
Okay.
Savage Crew.
Savage?
So what Savage Crew could be.
Okay, so I wonder, is that Morgan? Is that what you're doing here for a Savage Crew, the Morgan tribe?
He was on that tribe in Pearl Islands. You never know. That could be.
And then what's the second clue?
The Feckless One.
The Feckless One. Mick?
Mick is yes, Sambo did call Mick Feckless. Sure.
And then
the middle name of Vanuatu's oldest player. Who could that be?
Is that Scout Cloud Lee? Is the answer Morgan McCloud?
Morgan McLeod voted out this week in Survivor
History. Morgan McLeod, yeah.
Is correct.
Yes.
Yes. She is
Jordan,
the,
your mind. The amazing.
This puzzle. Yeah, I it was not as easy. Last week, I just landed on Sarita White, and I was like, boom, Sarita's name is in this. White Rice, Tata the Bushman. This was a little bit, I had to search through the annals of Survivor History and find this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. And I was trying to figure out things. I had other play. Boston Rob got voted out this week in Survivor History. And I was trying to be like, could I like
which time?
Son? I believe it was, I think it was, Heroes versus Villains?
Sounds
I'm pretty sure.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was Heroes versus Villains. I don't know. I was like, I could do Shane's son, but then you have like Rob, like that's too easy. And then Mariano is like Mari Takahashi and like the and last syllable, the Tikiano tribe. Who knows? You're getting into some weird territory there.
Yeah.
But Morgan McLeod, correct.
Well, look,
answer.
If you think the New York Times should buy out Jordan Kalish for the audio rebus puzzles,
I think they
this
should.
This could be the companion piece to Wordle they've been waiting for.
I think they should. And it wouldn't just have to be Survivor. New York Times, it could be anything. All the rebus that's fit to post.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jordan, incredible job once again.
Thank you.
You blow my mind every week.
That's my job.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job.
Where can people keep up?
Rob's sitting down for this podcast.
I had to.
Not watching the video.
I had to. Okay. What's your prediction? Total wins for the Yankees in 2022.
Total wins in 2022. Okay. So the Yankees are going to win 98 games.
98 games.
98 games. I'm going high, baby. When they go low, I go high.
Yeah, you might be high.
People are predicting us to have like 90. No, we're gonna win 98. And not only that, Rob, Yankees have won the World Series.
And the World Series.
I predict the same thing every year, Rob. I'm completely biased here. I can't make a real prediction about the Yankees. If I predict the Yankees to lose, and then I'm gonna feel it's my fault if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Yankees are winning the World Series. I don't care about the Blue Jays. I don't care about the Dodgers. Their rosters look good, but guess what? The Yankees, with all
the Mets.
The Mets got better too. Unfortunately, all their good pitchers are hurt. But look, the Yankees, they made some weird moves. They didn't make some moves that I wanted them to make, like bringing in a big time free agent shortstop or Matt Olson at first base. But they still got better. They're still, I think, a better roster than they were last year.
They've taken like the Tommy Sheehan approach of, we're not making any flashy moves. We're going
to
make
or the Danny Boatwright approach.
Yes.
They're going to hide. They're not like playing to what the fans want to see. I hope they're not taking the Morgan McLeod approach, because then that means the season's going to end.
They're
going to
lay back and do
nothing.
Okay.
Exactly. That's what Cashman did this offseason.
Yes. Okay. Jordan Kalish, great job once again. And we'll see you next week.
Great talking to you. Talk to you next week.
Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Jordan Kalish back here for another week of This Week in Survivor History. Very fun exit interview podcast here today. Hope you enjoyed this one. We are getting ready to talk with T-Bird, Shannon Gutson. Don't forget about for the patrons of Rob's podcast, Asia Welch will join me this weekend for the Survivor Academy, where we talk with new players. See, you could just interpret what I think about playing in future seasons, or you can ask questions. We ask the patrons every single week for specific questions about their own future gameplay that we will discuss in great length on Survivor Academy. That's for the patrons of Rob as a podcast over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.